Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
But it will be about 49 degrees. Are we not on?
I'm not using the right mic.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's
8- Sorry, I guess we're still having some snafus here. We had to change mics, and I wasn't aware of it. Anyway, let me go back and tell you what the weather is, because it's going to be such a beautiful weekend. Tomorrow should be sunny, about 62 degrees. Tonight it will be freezing, down to possibly 20, 22 degrees. But tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Washington's birthday, or I should say President's weekend Monday, all 3 days are going to be sunny. And tomorrow should be around 62 degrees. Again, on Sunday, about the same, a high of 62. And Monday, not quite as warm, high of about 49 degrees. But certainly a wonderful weekend and an unbelievable weekend. And, wow, we just have a person that came in who I hope will now join me on the law program early. And this is Bill Wolfson. So why don't we play a spot, and I'll try to see if Bill is willing to talk a little bit about some of all these wonderful things he knows about. And we could talk a little bit about bankruptcy and creditors' rights and debtors' rights, but we'll be right back.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambie's. Purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Well, we're back, and as I said, Bill Wolfson, one of our sports guys, came in early. So, Bill, can we talk a little law about...
Sure, Pat, I'm always happy to do that. As you know, I probably have told you this story. I just spent a very interesting couple of days in Newark. I represent a homeowners association, and in addition to doing bankruptcy work, actually I represent a couple of them. And it's always interesting the problems that they have and some of the things you have to do as an attorney for them when a property owner doesn't maintain his property or allows certain kinds of conduct to go on from tenants or decides that what they want to do is they want to put in an additional bathroom and break into the unit's common plumbing or other common elements.
Well, let me ask you, and that's very interesting because I assume you're talking, when you're talking homeowners association in that area, they're not single family homes, correct? Okay, well, that's interesting because what does someone do if they're thinking about buying a condominium or something in an area with a homeowners association? What kind of precautions should they take? Because I understand you're representing the association and they have to do certain things, but do you have any warning? And I know I'm catching you without any preparation, but what about someone who wants to or is thinking about buying into an area, let's say a townhouse or, you know, a condo, or I suppose some of them are called apartments even though they're owned?
Sure, sure. It's always important to get a copy of the bylaws and the rules and regulations and the master deed, because no matter how difficult or how tough it is to plow through them, and they're usually documents that are an inch and a half thick. They've been filed with the county clerk's office, but you usually get them either as part of a title search or you can borrow them from the seller or the sponsor will give you a copy because they're required to do so if you're considering buying in. A seller can lend it to you so that you and your attorney can look them over and see what the rules are. How does the association operate?
Well,
what
I'm
are you allowed to do? What are you not allowed to do? Some associations say that you can't even plant a garden in front of your front porch.
Now, I assume, obviously, the seller who wants to sell is probably not going to be, will not voluntarily disclose if they have neighbors who play loud music until 2 in the morning. But what should, and I have to say, I can't imagine anyone buying a condo or a townhouse who would not have an attorney in one of those transactions. But what do they need? And I'm assuming that if it was me and I was buying, I would have the attorney look over all of the documents that you've just talked about.
Of course, and certainly you want the attorney to do that. The other thing you want to do is you want to see the budget, and you want to talk with the management company for the association to understand the dues structure, how often dues go up, whether there are any assessments above and beyond the dues, because sometimes a roof repair could be very expensive, or perhaps there's a problem with plumbing or a problem with water lines.
Well, in fact, I don't mean to cut you off, but
it can become very important. It can be very costly. We need to look at that. The other problem that we see, particularly in, I don't see them, but my colleagues do in other states like Florida, there are many associations where so few people are paying their dues that they're in financial distress. Some associations have gone bankrupt. I have also been in situations where I've represented homeowners association where the developer sponsor went belly up, and now we're dealing with the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration, or some other government agency, or the Office of Thrift Supervision, who comes in and takes over the project. Now they want to start changing what the developer sponsor has promised. And there's case law out there that talks about when they can and when they can't. Or you get a lender that takes over, and you need to figure out whether they can or can't go through this project. So what happens is you get into situations sometimes where you may like the way the project looks. You may like the developer sponsor, because basically, most people who are in sales are very agreeable people, particularly if you're interested in buying. And what will happen is you really need to look underneath the hood of a lot of these transactions to see how well they are functioning. I recommend this particularly when you have seen an older building, and by older I mean built before 1965 or 1975, and where it may have been a bunch of apartments and they've gotten turned into condominiums. Remember, New Jersey is loaded with condos and townhouses. And when you get into the cities, you may see a building that was built right after World War II as an apartment building. And at some point in the 80s or the 90s or the 00s, the developer sponsor made a decision, I'm going to turn this into a condominium and sell. And no longer will I be a landlord. I'll be a developer sponsor. So when you have older buildings, just like everything else in your house, entropy wins at the end. You know, pipes leak, things rust, electrical systems fail, roofs need to be replaced, just normal wear and tear. Sometimes it can be very pricey for an association to deal with all those things. So.
Now, at what point is the developer, the sponsor developer, and let's talk about conversions, because certainly in New Jersey, and especially in New York, there were a lot of apartments that were converted into, I guess, co-ops more than condos. And let's not get into the distinction there, because...
I have very little experience with cooperative.
Right.
But
and
for those of us in our listening audience, the difference between a co-op and a condo is in a condo, you own your unit. In a co-op, the whole cooperative, the whole corporation owns the building and your unit, and you simply own a share of stock in the cooperative.
Right, and I think that there are some people, I think there are some people who would steer away from a co-op, except that's maybe all they can buy in New York, but steer away from a co-op and would prefer a condo. Am I right?
That's right.
And now I do know that there are some very successful ones. I know there's one a friend of mine owned outside of Princeton, and it was an ideal situation. Actually, these were homes that were actually individual. Well, there were three kinds of things. They had some very large homes, then they had some smaller homes, and then they had the regular townhouses. But in her situation, they took care of all the outside maintenance. The fees were reasonable, comparatively reasonable. But now that is another thing. How, when you're representing, and you've just said you've been in court, and I know you've been in court, now what exactly was the problem that you were handling on behalf of the association?
We had two problems. One unit, the unit owner had allowed people to live there. Perhaps they were family members, I'm not sure. And they were not particularly sanitary, so we had an infestation of cockroaches. the exterminator and the association pays for extermination twice a month, went in and made recommendations which they didn't follow. Additionally, there had been unauthorized tapping into the association's plumbing, which had not been done particularly well, so there began to be leaking into other units.
So in other words, what you're telling me is if you're looking to buy a condo, you have to be sure that you're able, for example, to have a washer and dryer, because if you're not able to have a washer in the unit and you want to put one in, you would be tapping into the water system, correct?
Well, usually those are the kinds of things that an association would automatically permit. Sometimes in cities where you have very small apartments that have been turned into condominiums or co-ops, you need to go before the board and get approval and get a licensed plumber or get the construction code official to authorize it, get the association to authorize it, and then go out and hire a licensed plumber.
But if they permit it.
Pardon?
If they permit it. And I do believe there are a lot of condos or certainly co-ops or apartments in New York that people own where they're not permitted to have a washer-dryer unit. And, of course, some of these are very, you know, small, and some of them don't even have authorization to have dishwashers.
I have never run into a situation like that here in New Jersey or New York. I'm authorized to practice in New York, but I try not to.
Most of us try not to.
Nothing against New York, but it's tough enough to practice law here and try to do a good job for everybody.
So now in your case, and I'm sure that the people that live near these people who were less than clean, kept their place less than clean, were very upset about that. So what responsibility does the homeowners association have in situations where there are complaints, such as this complaint that, you know, all of a sudden I have cockroaches running in my unit from next door? And that reminds me, I have to tell you one little story. I was a partner in a larger firm in Morristown, and we used to go next door to the Chinese restaurant that was considered a very nice Chinese restaurant regularly, and everybody else in Morristown did. Well, when they closed the restaurant, we had all sorts of little varmints that were coming through the walls because they no longer had be able to feast in the Chinese restaurant. And I remember I couldn't even keep food in the bottom drawer of my desk because every morning I would have live guests. But so that I can understand, you know, that was really, you know, now the Chinese restaurant had moved out, so they were able to finally get the exterminating done. And all of us couldn't believe that we had lived with eating all that that food. But in any event, getting back to your situation.
How was the food?
Well, we all thought the food was good, but, you know, in retrospect, you know, it was kind of scary to think that we were eating the food that all of these little animals were eating at the same time. But in any event, what does someone do? A homeowner, what do they do? I'm assuming they complain to the association. And at what point does the association risk liability if they don't take care of it?
Well, that's a very good point, Pat. You will see in many bylaws and homeowner association related governing documents, which are the master deed, the bylaws, and anything else that may have been filed with the county and in the New Jersey Condominium Act, that if the association doesn't act, the unit owner can act by going into the Superior Court on a verified complaint in order to show cause and bring an action against both the association and the other offending property owner. Let's call them the bad guy or the bad gal to correct the problem or cease and desist.
But now, but do they have to file, at what point? Do they file in the law division?
Yeah, it would have to be in the law division. It's not a chancery division action because technically you're enforcing a statute and a contract.
But in that case, because as we know, in most cases, legal fees don't shift. So is there any possibility if someone has to go through that, what would be a fairly significant expense of retaining counsel, filing a complaint? I don't know what complaints are in the law division, but I know that in family, they just keep raising the costs of...
In the law division, it's $250, and then, of course, you're going to spend another $50 to $100 getting service a process, which for our listening audience means actually handing the complaint to the defendants.
So
you've got 35 days to answer. So the answer for your fee-shifting question is this. Usually in the bylaws, you're going to see associations having the right to impose legal fees on an offending owner where they have to take them to court either to collect dues or assessments or maintenance charges or take them to court to make them stop doing something that the bylaws prohibit or fix something that they've done that's against the bylaws. That could be anything from plumbing to they painted their door the wrong color that doesn't match the color scheme that the association has. There are all sorts of restrictions. And for people who, I'm going to call them the free spirits who don't like being told what to do.
Don't buy a condo.
A single family house is best for me.
But what about but I can understand that the association has that right by contract.
That's right.
Correct? In other words, when someone buys, they are obligated to comply with all of the terms of the association as part of their purchase. But what protection does a neighbor have if they're forced to go to court?
Remember that in the language of most bylaws and master deeds, you're going to see some language, a recital perhaps. These bylaws are for the mutual benefit of the association and its members. So you are not a third-party beneficiary, but a direct beneficiary of those bylaws. So you also get the benefit of a right to sue under the statute, the Condominium Act.
Plus, so then what we're...
You also have the old-fashioned common law rights of what we call abating a nuisance. We used to see that out here when Hunterdon County was more rural. And what we would see is a problem with, say you had a neighbor who was burning chicken manure, and that was a common practice for some farmers, where they would be burning crops so that they could level them and get to the next crop. And you could go into court and say, well, judge, this guy is doing something that's making my eyes water, and I'm coughing and sneezing, and I want him to stop. And a judge, he or she was satisfied, would probably order that to stop.
Well, they'd order it to stop, but the question here still is, what about the fee shifting? In other words, will that person get legal fees?
Yeah. The fee shifting may not apply. I don't know the answer to this, Pat.
Okay.
I've never had to look at this question.
So basically...
It doesn't seem to apply to... an individual owner bringing suit against another owner to enforce bylaws. I do not know the answer.
Well, and so all this means, folks, is it's something that you should look at when you're going to buy a condominium, because the question is, what happens if you have a neighbor where, you know, your place becomes cockroach heaven because they're not keeping things clean? Or... one of the other things, obviously, is noise. I have a client who lives somewhere, and her neighbor decides that he wants to play music very loud and start at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, these are things that you have to think about. And, of course, if you're in an apartment, you can usually have your landlord take care of it. And worst-case scenario... move out at the end of your lease.
Yep.
Or, in fact, it may be justification to break the lease.
May very well be. There's a warranty of habitability. But, you know, if you have loud music playing at 3 a.m. from your neighbors, and assuming you haven't been invited to the party, which is always interesting. The, you know, sometimes it's a polite knock on the door and would you please stop?
Oh, I understand. But usually with that type of neighbor, it doesn't work.
And it usually starts a range war. And then the next thing is you call the police because many towns have noise ordinances. But Pat, you're looking at hitting the money button for some of our sponsors. And I'm just wondering, do you have another ad you need to play?
Well, I think we're going to chat, but let's have a few of our sponsors tell us the good things and why we're here. But I think that this is... very informative, and we'll go back. And, you know, I guess it's always the kind of thing that people need to be forewarned and don't think that everything's going to be easy after they buy that condo. So we'll hold on and come on back, and we'll have more of our discussion.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe is that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambi's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambi's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon, or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton, Pambi's. purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Hey, Bill, we're back. We've shown you and told you about some of our sponsors. And, you know, Pamby, the new ice cream place up on 31, they really have good ice cream, folks. And I guess most of us, or most people, unless they're like me, you know, don't really think about eating ice cream in February. But with this beautiful weekend, this would be the weekend to go and try Pamby and try their delicious flavors of ice cream. So, Bill, getting back to the situation that you were involved in. So one of the cases dealt with neighbors who were less than clean and were tapping into the inappropriately or improperly tapping into the water system. Was that the only issues? And I know you've been in because you've had to go back to Essex County like three times. So
five or six times.
For this one situation.
Yeah, and it's still going on. We have to finish up our hearing. One of the problems that I'm hearing about is that in some counties they had a shortage of judges. So the judges are really strained.
Oh, absolutely.
On cases.
Well, in all of the counties.
Is that
but
true in all of them?
Well, I think that now we probably have, for the first time in a long time, have a full complement or almost a full complement of judges. The problem is that with the new bail reform, they've had to take so many of the judges, especially in counties like Essex and Union and Camden and Passaic, and transfer them to criminal to deal with all of these bail reform. But the other thing, and you know, don't get me on my high horse, but what happened in New Jersey I think was tragic because there was this little political back and forth between Governor Christie and the senator, one of the senators from Essex County. This goes back probably 4 years. And the senator wanted one of Christie's appointees to appear before his committee before they determined whether or not he would be approved. And I guess Governor Christie didn't like that. And he absolutely shut down any appointments to Essex County. So all of the trials in family stopped.
Well,
stopped.
They,
in other words,
used to call senatorial courtesy.
Well, it is senatorial courtesy.
Does that still exist? I don't know.
But the problem with this is that it was what I would call a Mexican standoff because Governor Christie, even though his appointee was not full commissioner of whatever, he was acting. So he had his job. Meanwhile, not only did Essex County not have judges, all the other counties, or not all, but many of the other counties had to send judges to Essex County to fill in the gaps. So it created this ripple effect all over at least northern New Jersey. I mean, I guess they couldn't really send a judge from Camden County every day to go up and sit in Essex County. But I can tell you it had a huge impact. Now, I don't do as much. I do represent clients in Essex County, and I do have cases in Essex County. And as a result of that, I have a case that was filed in June of the year 2000, and it still hasn't been completed. So, yes, what you're seeing, and I think what you're saying, is they're not having consecutive days of trial, which creates its own problems, and so everything gets delayed, and as a result, everybody's legal fees escalate.
That's right, because, you know, it's like trying to run a track meet. You want to run the 440s, but you get in the blocks and the gun goes off and you get about maybe 50 yards down the track and the whistle blows and you have to go home for 2 weeks.
Well, you're lucky if it's only 2 weeks. But what's more than that, when you have a complicated trial, you know, let's say 2 months, 3 months, I've had 6 months between trial dates, people forget. And unless it's a case where people can order transcripts, which, as we know as attorneys, very expensive. You know, you end up repeating yourself, or people, you know, have said one thing when they were there in March, and then they say something else in September, and it really creates problems. So there should be continuous trials. There's supposed to be continuous trials. But if you read at least the family law cases, it is rare that you can have continuous trials. I think the only time that I've had a continuous trial, probably in the last 10 years, is if there's a judge who's retired who comes back and sits. And so he's just assigned that one case. But even in those cases, they usually have, you know, they slip two or three or four things in the morning, so you're waiting, and then there may be other things that they put in the afternoon. So as far as getting a lot of hours, that's unusual. But in any event, so you're back and have, in this case, which you probably anticipated would be simple one day.
Exactly. I figured it would be probably 3 or 4 hours of testimony and then some argument. And, you know, it's also difficult on the judges because they have to remember who said what. And either they're great note takers, and, you know, hopefully judges take better notes than I do, because sometimes I can't read my notes, or I can't remember what somebody said, or maybe I remember it differently. And they're just as, judges are just as human as everybody else, even though they're put in a tough spot by the fact that they have to start and stop and start and stop, just as the attorneys are.
Well, but not only that, we probably, most of us, are not trying a number of cases at the same time. Now, we have a lot of other work, but we're just trying one or maybe two. I actually have tried three trials at the same time. But the judges are going from one trial to the next, and, you know, they're just handling so many matters. So you're right. I don't care how good the judge. In my experience, I've always found that maybe it's not a big error, but, you know, they get things mixed up like everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's always a problem, Pat. You have the difficulty with judges having to start and stop. The lawyers have to start and stop. I would like it to be a perfect world, or at least a perfect state of New Jersey judiciary, but we don't have that because of, you know, the expense of putting somebody on the bench and the volume of cases. Additionally, we've just had bail reform, and I'm not a criminal attorney, so I don't really know.
Oh, that's going to take.
I don't really know what the impact is going to be on our judges, but I've got to believe they're going to be very busy.
Huge impact. Huge impact. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, and I believe it was 20 more judges who were just appointed, and that because everybody recognized that the system would just totally break down. Because as we know, criminal cases have to take precedence.
That's right. We have a speedy trial law, and it's actually embedded in the U.S. Constitution. That you have to have a fast trial, because why should somebody have a criminal charge hanging over their head for longer than it takes to properly prosecute it?
Well, and more than that, the problem was that there were so many people that were incarcerated for long periods of time because
without
they couldn't
trial.
Make
yeah.
well because they couldn't make bail.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you know, many people with criminal charges are that worried, you know, if they're not in jail. But, you know, obviously, if they can't make bail and are in jail, and it can take, without speedy trial, it can take, you know, they can, there were times in the past before speedy trial that they might be in jail for 2 years before they went to trial, and then they were found not guilty.
Well, remember, too, you have another problem with speedy trial. If you can't, if you incarcerate somebody because they can't make bail, and you finally get to trial, and the sentence is for less time than they would have spent in jail. You've done something fundamentally unfair to the defendant, even if he's guilty. You're only supposed to do 30 days, and you sit there for 45 before they get to you, and then they say, time served. That's not very fair. So
well, no.
And someone's taken 15 days out of your life that they shouldn't have taken.
Well, but not only that, it often means that someone has lost their job. And, you know, we can go on and on. There's another issue, and that's not something you do. It's something I see where we talk about child support, and if someone is in arrears and they lose their driver's license, they don't even know it. And so they can be arrested and incarcerated. And but that's another topic that I'm going to talk to someone from the prosecutor's office and a defense attorney. And now, right now, there is a case pending about the unconstitutionality of, and when that case is reported, I'm going to get and have the attorneys who were involved in it on the program. But anyway, going back to your situation, what can the judge do? Let's assume that he finds in favor of your condo association. What can the judge do in order to remedy the situation?
Well, the judge has to enforce the bylaws and rules and regulations in order compliance, or let the association come in and take care of whatever they have to do inside the owner's unit, and then impose those costs on the unit as a judgment or as a lien on the property.
But now, can they do anything to get these people out? I mean, this is property that they own.
It's property that, well, if these people own the property, you can't kick them out. But you can take the position that if somebody is damaging common elements, if they're creating, they're breaking things, they're causing intentional damage.
But only
maybe they can be evicted, even if they are owners. I'm glad I've never had that situation, because I don't know what the right answer is.
But if they're damaging their own property, you know, none of the common property, but if all they're doing is, you know,
damaging their own property,
I can't imagine that anyone has a right to do anything.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, you know, you have the perfect